Thank you for listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley, Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are People Powered Radio in Northern Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org.
Hey, I'm Carmel Holt, and welcome to She Rose Radio, an independent space that was created to turn up the volume of women, non-binary, and gender-expansive voices in song and conversation. It's a show that amplifies and multiplies those voices that are still not heard in equal numbers to give you an hour of radio unlike any other, created, hosted, produced, engineered, and powered by women. And thanks to radio stations like this one that bring you She Rose Radio each week, we get together for an hour of songs and interviews featuring the trailblazers and the new visionaries across genres, generations, and identities. To quote bell hooks, feminism is for everybody. This is She Rose Radio, and this radio revolution starts now.
Find if you start to take time, the wind is right. day. Instead, I'm here all alone in a home with no one to call my own. Got me wondering, did I make a mistake? In choosing who to say I do too. Cause I guess I don't.
Madison McFerrin and I Don't on She Rose Radio. Her new album is called Scorpio, which makes sense as she is a Scorpio. Wishing Madison a very happy birthday on November 5th. And also happy birthday to Maxine Nightingale, who was born November 2nd, 1952. We heard her 1976 hit right back where we started from. And welcome to the She Rose Radio Hour, my friends. I'm your host, Carmel Holt. It's so great to see you as always. Together, we'll turn up the volume of women's voices in song and conversation. And before we get into what's coming up this hour, a reminder that like everyone in public radio and in audio, She Rose is in critical need of financial support. And we have our very first fundraising campaign in progress. We're nearly halfway to our goal, and we're asking for you to donate what you can. Text She Rose 53555 to make a tax-deductible donation through our nonprofit partner AIR, or you can visit SheRoseRadio.com. Thank you for supporting independent femme and queer produced radio and conversations like the one that you'll hear later this hour with Hannah Jadagu as we celebrate the release of her sophomore album, Describe. It's coming up in the second part of the show. Hope that you can stay with us. Right now, getting to brand new music from Courtney Marie Andrews. Her ninth album is called Valentine, and it's coming January 16th. This is the first single from the new album. It's called Keeper.
Talk.
Wishing the amazing Katie Lang a very happy birthday, November 2nd, and going back to her 1992 sophomore album, Ingenue, for that classic, Constant Craving, on She Rose Radio. Also, extremely excited to share that new one by Courtney Marie Andrews, Keeper, our first taste of the new album, Valentine, coming January 16th. I'm Carmel Holt. Don't go anywhere. This week, we welcome Hannah Jadagu to the She Rose Spotlight as we celebrate the release of her second album, Describe. It's coming up after the break. Stay with us.
We will get you right back to more from She Rose Radio here on People Powered KAXE. I'm Malachi Coons. We receive support from Harmony Food Co-op in Bemidji, partnering with local farms for over two decades to provide fresh and local foods. Promoting sustainability through local buying, open daily from 8 to 8, more at harmonyfoods.coop, also on Facebook. Election Day is Tuesday, November 4th. 13 school districts in rural northern Minnesota are asking residents to support referendums in special elections this year. The KEXE News team has gathered information on these referendums and details on how to vote. Find it at KAXE. United Way of a Thousand Lakes presents Dining United now through November 20th. Find a list of participating Itasca County restaurants at uwlakes.org. Now more from She Rose Radio.
You're listening to She Rose, and I'm Carmel Holt. When Texas-born, now New York City-based singer, songwriter, guitarist, and producer Hannah Shadagu first came on our radar, she was just 18 years old, and she just released her debut EP of songs called What Is Going On, entirely recorded and produced on her iPhone on GarageBand. In high school, she had been self-releasing singles on SoundCloud, and the EP was her first release for Sub Pop Records, who'd signed her when Hannah was a senior. So Hannah Shadagu entered NYU's music business program with a record deal and newfound critical acclaim. While some may have taken that as a sign that getting a degree was unnecessary, Hannah continued her studies while continuing to write and record. And despite launching her career at the start of the pandemic, she went out on her first tour in 2021. She hasn't slowed down since. Hannah's excellent full-length debut, Aperture, arrived in 2023, which were her first studio recordings, and now, just 2 years later, we have the next era of Hannah Shadagu's songwriting and sonic palette, which expands and stretches even further than her first. It's called Describe, and as we celebrate its release, I'm so thrilled to welcome Hannah Shadagu as this week's Shiro in the Spotlight. Hannah Shadagu, welcome to Shiro's.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Congratulations on Describe, and I can't wait to get into that. When I first learned about you, what I heard was you were an NYU student that was also making music. And next thing I know, there's a big spread about you in the New York Times by John Perellis. My God, this journey that you've been on.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Where did all of this start for you?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been doing the music thing. Like growing up, my sister and I, we sang in the church choir. We sang in an outside of school choir, like where we would go to downtown Dallas and sing, and we would be a part of like Leonard Bernstein's Kaddish with the Dallas Symphony Orchestra.
Wow.
Yeah, I also was a classically trained percussionist, and I loved to play basketball. So like I was a very active kid, and I was doing music, sports, but I always felt very drawn to music and performing music and the art of practicing and crafting, you know, something bigger than yourself and playing with other people. And then I started to sort of dive into making my own music. That was probably around 12, 13. 14, middle school era.
Wow.
So yeah, that's kind of the rundown.
I want to get deeper into that, but I also want to get into a track from Describe. Why don't you choose a track for us? Like if you were meeting somebody for the first time and they hadn't heard your music before, where would you point them?
Wow, that's a great question. Oh my goodness. No one's ever asked me to do this. Hold on, y'all. Yeah, I'm going through the track list right now. I would say More, track number 3 on Describe. And that would be the first song I would play them.
Why?
I think it's so representative of where my sound is right now. I also think it depicts a strong image of the themes of the album, lyrically and also sonically.
If it was easy, you would leave here tomorrow. Say that you need me, 'cause I've never been one to borrow. Come on, baby. All of the things that seem to follow when you miss me. Come on, come on, come on. I've been 5,000 miles away, but those 3,000 feel like more. Telling you, wish I could stay with one foot almost out the door. You've been feeling up, I know it's hard when you don't feel secure. Cut my things a bit too quick, and now you think that I need more.
We have Hannah Shadagu here with us on Shiro's. Her sophomore album is called Describe, and I'm Carmel Holt. So More is the song that you would introduce yourself to somebody off this record.
that didn't know you, that didn't know your music. And you said going into it that it encompasses the most of where you are now sonically and also thematically what this album is about. So let's break that apart a little bit. First, thematically, what this record is.
Yeah, I mean, I think I just made a whole album that was pretty autobiographical, and there's a truth stretched here or there, as many songwriters probably do. But I think this whole album is literally just about sort of navigating a new phase in my life post, you know, my previous record. And I feel like this album is a bit more vulnerable in the sense that it dives into the thematic topics of distance within a relationship and guilt, but also gratitude, and also just what it means to find love in today's kind of world, and also what that looks like just really personally for me. That's why I chose More, is because it kind of dives you right into those waters and just starts opening up the themes of distance, the themes of longing, and what that can look like.
Let's talk about the sonics, because
yeah,
your first album really spotlighted and showcased you and your guitar work. And on this record, it's not gone, but you've shifted into a new sonic palette. Talk to us a little bit about that and how that choice also helps to amplify the emotional themes that you're going for here.
Yeah, for sure. So as you mentioned, on Aperture, my first record, that was very guitar driven. I wrote a lot of songs starting off by picking up a guitar. When it came time to work on this album, I had started it a little after Aperture, or I attempted to, but I felt like I wasn't getting the sense of freedom that I found when I would pick up my MIDI keyboard or go to a Whirly keyboard or, you know, play on a Moog. So every new song I was making was living in a world that was very occupied by synths and like electronic drums and 808s and stuff like that. And that was kind of what was happening when I was demoing.
You co-produced every song. So I want to know more about that as a producer, that intentional choice. You're going into something that's a little less organic, but you are simultaneously showing us your more vulnerable self.
Yes, that was intentional. I mean, I remember when I set out to make the record with my main co-producer, Sora, I told him I want it to feel timeless. I don't want this album to feel like you can pinpoint what year it was made or where it was made. And I remember I felt like the way I could do that and the way that I could write these songs was just by kind of stepping away from the guitar and like trying some stuff that I hadn't tried before. That was the other thing, is a lot of it, it's not even like a whole big brain thing, is I was just trying to grow. And
yeah,
I feel like the way in which you can grow is by trying something new. And so on this record, I sought out growth through, I mean, Sora is an amazing cello player and an amazing strings arrangement kind of guy. So I was like, let's do strings. That feels timeless. You know, let's do the Whirly, like on Give Me Time. All these sort of classic and very analog instruments. But then, you know me, I love to mix everything in with a very modern and like something that does a little bit feel like the current era we're in, but also mm-hmm. just stuff that I grew up on. So yeah, it was intentional to not make every song a guitar song.
Yeah.
The point in doing so was that I could try to unleash new emotions and also just try to grow as a producer and as an artist. And I found it to be very freeing.
I loved getting to see you perform the other night, opening up for the Japanese House, who is another Shiro's guest in the past. And one of the things that I noted about the performance was how free you were to move on stage. But also at the same time, you're a little bit more exposed physically. What is that feeling like for you?
I mean, it's fun. I was like, talking to my bandmate or my music director, and I said, quote, "I don't want to play guitar on every song. I want to be able to like stand and move around." And I think that's another way in which you grow. I've never had to do that. Usually I'm behind that mic boom stand with that guitar, and you can sort of hide behind it. And I think it's cool to hide. There is nothing wrong with hiding. I'm not as shy as I used to be, but very introverted. So I still feel like it's hard for me to be extroverted and put myself out there. And I need to recharge alone. But I feel like it's not taking energy out of me if I'm behind the guitar. But yes, that was one of my goals, is I want to be able to walk around and learn how to command a room. I want to be able to show more of myself, show more of my personality. And I think there's a lot of great artists who are able to be behind the guitar and their personality still comes through, you know. I mean, the Japanese house is an amazing example. Like, Amber was awesome. But yeah, I think that was also on purpose. And there's songs on this album where the guitar is prominent. So yeah, that was definitely a goal. And we'll see how it works out. You know, if I don't like it, I can always go back. But this whole, like, new era in this album, I'm just trying to do new things, trying to switch it up and keep learning and keep navigating things.
Why don't we get to a song that feels good to you to move to in this new era on the stage?
I mean, probably My Love. I remember making it too. I know the BPM when I'm bobbing my head.
Can you describe what that... I said describe. I didn't even mean to. Can you describe what that was like? Take us into that session.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It was a long journey. My Love was not an easy one because we were specifically going for this really specific mix of analog and modern sounds. And, you know, it's very poppy. I think it's one of the most poppy, straightforward songs on the album. And when I first made the demo, it was like a 6-minute song with another song on a record called Perfect. And I remember everybody on my team and even my sister was like, nobody's going to listen to a 6-minute song. They were like, you are not Thom Yorke. So I was like, okay, whatever. So I cut it up and I got My Love. And I started with, actually, this is one song where it started with guitar, drums, MIDI keyboard synth. That was it. And vocals. So I brought the demo to Sora. And then he was like, okay, you know, let's spice it up. And he starts doing the dum, 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 dum. Dun, dun, that kind of analog bass on the Moog. Then I was like, okay, it needs drums. And we tried some, like, just to program in some electronic kind of 80s sounding drums with really loud reverb claps. And we had that for a while. And then I said, let's layer the guitars again, make it loud, make it feel like it's in an arena or a stadium. So we layered the guitars a bunch. And then we just started doing random synth layers, just so many synths, so many vocal takes. But then it wasn't even done. Like, I went back to New York. I went back to school. Song wasn't done. So I hit up my producer, Max, who did all of the Aperture record. And I said, hey, we need new drums on this. Like, I need an acoustic drum set. He starts playing that, adds some crashes, some good little simple fills. And then we just start to tighten it up. I had Max add in some guitar stuff that he ran through synthesizer pedals. So now we're starting to craft a world where there is a full blanket of synths around us, which I typically love to do. And then we've got acoustic drums and we've got very like fun vocals, and then it was done. But yeah, that song took many tries. Sora and I woke up every day and tried to figure out, how do we crack this song? How do we make it better? How do we make it hit? And I think once me, Sora, and Max all put our brains together is when it came to full fruition.
Thank you.
Hannah Jadagu is our guest today on Shiro's. The new album is Describe, her sophomore release, and that was a track called My Love. I'm Carmel Holt, and we're talking production. It's a perfect opportunity to talk about owning that space as a producer, as a femme person.
Yeah.
Tell us what your experience has been thus far in that arena, and if you want to even just expand it to being a musician as a femme person.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people can agree when they say that sometimes you do have to work a little harder to like take up that space. I think especially because, I mean, I'm a 23-year-old Black girl with silver braids, like, not to say woe is me, but you know, like, you have to work harder, you have to smile more, you have to crack a little bit more jokes, you know. And I think a lot of times that can be fatigue in itself, and people don't understand that. I think, you know, living the Black experience is fatigue first and foremost. But that being said, I do think I have been very fortunate enough to find myself in rooms where I feel like I'm being respected. And I think that's just because I'm very sacred with my time. I'm very sacred with who I meet. I'm somebody with what I call a radar. While she may be harsh, she has served me well. And I am very happy to work with the guys that I do work with, because, you know, I work with men like Sora. That's my bro. Max is also my bro. And, you know, even I've worked with Jake Aaron, you know, my guy Huck. And these are people who I've produced songs with, who I have love for, and I always respect them in their real ones. So I think I've been fortunate enough to kind of vet people. And if I don't catch a good vibe, then you will not see me back there. Because, you know, I don't want to be mean, but it's like, I think men need to know you are replaceable. There's another guy that can do what you do. There's like 20 of you on my block. Like, I've always just kind of went in with that attitude. Like, you know, these guys are replaceable. And, you know, I'm putting it out there, I'd love to work with more femme producers. You know, hit me up, send me an email. But anyways, I think there are challenges. I think going to a venue and being a girl, you know, you show up and these guys are kind of looking at you crazy. And then you play a set and everyone's like, oh my God, that was so good. And they're kind of shocked. And it's like, babes, why do you think they booked me? Like, you know, I can play. So, yeah, I mean, I've definitely had experiences where it feels a little like, are you treating me this way just because I look like this? But yeah, I think I've been fortunate enough that the people I keep around me, even my band, my team, everyone is like 10 toes down. You know, some people don't even have that to feel safe enough to go tell someone like, hey, please don't make me do that again. But, you know, I feel comfortable enough to do that. So I want to shout out my team. But yeah, I think it's difficult. Like, I've always said this too. This is the last thing I'll say. The things that I hate the most, and I don't want to use the word hate a lot, but I'm going to say hate on this one. Being a girl and going into Guitar Center. All my femmes out there, y'all know. Going into the Guitar Center is like the worst experience ever. That's a great example of like, okay, I can feel that I'm a girl and people do not help you. I mean, I've went into Guitar Center with my boyfriend who is a filmmaker, and they always turn to him and they're like, oh, what are you here for, man? And he's always like, I'm not getting anything. It's her. I'm here with her. So that is definitely an example of probably the best way to sum up what it feels like to be a girl in the music industry. Well, that's like the far end of the scale, but it happens. So yeah, I'm no stranger to those experiences, and it's annoying. But yeah, I definitely have so much gratitude for the people that I do work with, because they do not make me feel that way. And don't let people make you feel that way, y'all. These men are replaceable. It's crazy.
But I also wanted to talk about your team and give you props for knowing that this early in your career, how important that is, because for a lot of people, that is a hard-earned lesson. It can take years before you figure out, I'm like not surrounding myself with the right people. It's as important to be intentional about who's in your band as it is who is your A&R, who is your tour manager, who is your manager, who is your lawyer, who is your PR. I mean, talk to Amber Bain about the experience of finding Chloe Kramer as a producer and an engineer. And she's like, I just want to work with femme and queer people, okay? Like, from now on.
Love Amber. But yeah, back to the concept of like a team and working with people. I think it's so important, arguably the most important thing, because it's going to be a lot of things that you don't want to do or a lot of things that come up. And you need to know that you're surrounded by people that actually will give you the option to be like, hey, no. There's a lot of people out there that are probably like, oh, yeah, I have to do everything, or I don't feel safe enough to say no, or I don't feel like they'll support me if I don't want to do X, Y, Z. And that is just not sustainable, girlies. Like, that's not sustainable. We have to be sustainable because it's harder for us. And I think, again, the concept of Black fatigue, especially Black girl fatigue. I mean, being a Black woman in America, like, it's hard enough. So you need to make sure that people on your team are being cognizant of that and considerate, and they value you as a person and do not other you. You know, that's the other thing. You don't want to be othered. I mean, I could go on and on. I could ramble, but that's kind of my gist. It's important to have a great team.
Can we talk about genre a little bit and, you know, the experience of being a Black woman in an area of music that probably people aren't used to seeing you in? And I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but like, can we talk about this a little bit? Soulful, R&B, blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
Is any of this sounding familiar?
Sounds so familiar. Oh my God. I remember when I first started making music, they like were putting me on R&B playlists. It was not R&B. It was just because they found out I was Black. I'm like, imagine y'all didn't know I was Black, you know?
Right.
And that's kind of how I feel a lot of the times. I think, yeah, like I make some stuff that grooves or can be inspired by like trap music or, you know, whatever I grew up listening to. And I'm definitely inspired by R&B artists, rap artists, hip hop artists, and overall Black artists. I'm heavily inspired by that. But the music I make is just not straight hip hop. I mean, I'll have a cut or two on the record that kind of leans into that direction. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm very indie, very alternative. I think also if you're just looking at the stats and just looking at the stems, like you're going to see guitar, Moog, Juno, you know, all that stuff, 808s, whatever. But yeah, I think it's super alternative and indie, but it's hard, I guess, to describe. No pun intended. To describe the genre, quote unquote genre that I fall in. Because I do sort of drift in and out. But yes, I have gotten a lot of times where people are like, okay, like, you're the face of our R&B playlist. And like, you know, no disrespect, but I don't make R&B music. If you want R&B music, like, go listen to Kehlani, Summer Walker. But yeah, I think I definitely get put in that box a lot. And it is simply just because I am Black. And it's annoying. And it happens a lot and it happens every day. I also feel like I get put in that bedroom pop category still. And I don't think I make bedroom pop music anymore. Like the act of demoing in my room is bedroom pop, but I don't think the songs are like that. My EP definitely was, but I don't think I've been bedroom pop for a second. So yeah, I feel like people are always not describing me properly. But if you look at maybe my white peers, they are. And they're finding the most nuanced ways to basically say that this white guy with long hair is making alternative rock. You know, and they come up with great adjectives and descriptors. And for me, it's just groovy R&B soulful pop artist. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like a microaggression in itself. So yeah, I have quite the opinion on it. That's my take.
Well, I thought about it in the light of the title of the album. And when you think about it that way, it's almost like a challenge to like, think about it.
Literally think about it. I also think as a society, like if people would just think a little longer, we would be a better place. We would have more community. I've said this to my friends a lot. I think we should think more. But yeah, hard to describe, but if you think, you might be able to.
What track should we go to as we're talking about all this?
We should go to Normal Today. See what people think about that one.
Oh, can't focus, even when you're not around. So much unspoken, eyes, feet, falling in. Moving through motions, honestly, I'm coming down. Do you not know?
That's Normal Today. The new Hannah Jadagu album is called Describe, her sophomore release. And I'm Carmel Holt. She's our guest today on Shiro's. We talked a lot about genre going into that song. And you mentioned the music that you grew up listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Who are some of your heroes and Shiro's? Who really inspired you that you could point to and be like, that's what's in my DNA of the music that I make?
In terms of being heavily inspired, I mean, the Japanese house is definitely one. Imogen Heap, FKA Twigs, Rosalia. When I've listened to those artists, I've been instantly inspired. And they have definitely seeped into, like, my sounds and what I make. Those are definitely a big four. Heavy on the Imogen Heap. Love her. Which I always forget to mention her.
I'm always surprised that she doesn't come up more. She's like such a trailblazer. She's so groundbreaking still, you know?
Extremely groundbreaking. And I mean, another very groundbreaking artist, which we all know, is like Bjork. I only started getting into Bjork in the past year, but her album Vesper Team, my roommate Annika showed me it, and it really got me through like the New York winter. And that was so inspiring. Like when I was making Normal Today, I was listening to a lot of Bjork. We were finishing that song up this winter. So yeah, I mean, just, and these are heavy hitters and these may be obvious picks, but I think sometimes it's good to point out the obvious because they're still just really cool girlies. Who else? I mean, I've said this quite a bit, but the Black Eyed Peas, I grew up listening to them and I feel like I do a lot of Fergie melodies sometimes. You know, you got to catch it, though. But I do a lot of Fergie melodies. I like will.i.am. I like the vocal layering. Same thing with vocal layering. Like the Japanese house is just, they are so good at that. Yeah, those are a few of my influences, at least for this past album.
It's been so awesome to talk to you today.
Yes.
And may this be the first of many times that we chat. Congratulations on this incredible, incredible new album, Describe. Before we wrap up, I want to give you a wish. Are you ready to make some magic?
I'm ready.
Okay. I've got a Shiro's magic wand. You can make a wish to change anything in the music industry for women, non-binary folks, queer folks, BIPOC folks, anyone who is marginalized and still doesn't have an equal voice or an equal say. First wave of the wand, Hannah Jadagu, what would you change?
This is such a big question. I would just change the pigeonholing that happens to marginalized artists. But my second biggest one, though, is just visibility. There is not enough visibility for us. And I think it's obvious. It's because, you know, oftentimes we're not white or we're not a man. So I would change people trying to put us in a box. And then the second thing would be I would make us more visible and we need to sit at the table and I think just respect, like, you know, we're struggling to have that same respect that our white male counterparts have. So, yeah, keep us out of the box and give us space.
I love it. May it be so. Hannah Jadagu, thank you again for being with us on Shiro's. How should we go out today? What about miracles?
Let's do miracles.
I love miracles. Is there anything that you want to tell us or share with us about this track before we go into it?
This song is camp.
With thanks to Hannah Jadagu, thank you for being with us on Shiro's.
Thank you so much. This was lovely.
Many thanks once again to Hannah Jadagu for being with us. Her second full-length album, Describe, is available now on Sub Pop Records. Next, we close the hour celebrating two of our favorite Scorpio Shiros, both born on November 3rd, Courtney Barnett and Bethany Cosentino, when Shiros Radio continues.
Thank you for tuning in to KAXE. I'm Malachi Coons. More from Shiros Radio right after this. We receive support from our listener members and from Lakeland PBS. Stay connected with Lakeland News, offering local news, weather, and sports available on demand on the PBS app. Are you interested in becoming a volunteer DJ at KAXE? Our volunteers are the lifeblood of this station, and we have fall trainings coming up on Wednesday, November 12th at KAXE, or in Bemidji at KBXE on Thursday, November 13th. Both classes run 5:30 to 7. Email dgannon@kaxe.org for more info or to confirm your attendance. And if you love KAXE's Tuesday Nature programs, we are bringing you a brand new podcast. KAXE's Season Watch Pod features hosts Charlie Mitchell, Heidi Holton, John Latimer, and a rotating cast of characters. A podcast for the curious, filled with the delights of nature. New podcasts debut Thursday mornings. Let's head back to Shiros Radio.
It's Shiros, and I'm Carmel Holt. Happy birthday to Shiros alum Bethany Cosentino, co-founder of Best Coast and all-around great human being. Hers is on November 3rd from the last Best Coast album, Always Tomorrow. This is Everything Has Changed.
happiest birthday to Shiro's alum, Courtney Barnett, born November 3rd, 1987. Brand new song called Stay in Your Lane on Shiro's Radio. And she shares a born day with Bethany Cosentino. We went back to the 2020 Best Coast album, Always Tomorrow, for Everything Has Changed. Ain't that the truth? That does it for this week's edition of Shiro's Radio. Thank you, as always, for tuning in wherever you may be listening together. Let's keep turning up the volume. Shiro's Radio is produced by me, is mixed and mastered by Kelly Drake. Our original theme music is by Lucius. Download, subscribe to the Shiro's podcast and to our new YouTube channel, Shiro's Productions. We are 100% independent, and that is made possible through the support of our public radio affiliates and now listeners like you. Please do donate to our very first fundraising campaign. Text Shiro's to 53555 to make a tax-deductible donation through our nonprofit partner, AIR, or visit shirosradio.com. Thank you for supporting our work. And until next time, remember, music is our superpower. I'm Carmel Holt. Thanks for listening.